I was getting goosebumps when Bill was reading that passage, just to see the dynamic that was going on in Esther's soul. She had access to the king, being queen. Now Mordecai was a heroic man. He was kind of acting as Esther's dad. That comes out in the story. Okay, her dad and mom is not around. So Mordecai says, I'll kind of be your dad. You know, he helps raise Esther. So he has a good relationship with Esther. And the whole passage here is right after the king said, okay, we're gonna have to kill all the Jewish people because of Haman and his hatred for the Jewish people. So the Lord tells us an exciting story in the book of Esther. If Esther was made into a movie, characters would be angry King Xerxes. He was later to appear in 300 Spartans, I think it was, if you're one of those things. Not a really good movie to see, a lot of violence. But he was the bad guy in the movie. He's not a good king right here. Okay, God has to use a bad king to get something good done. So it's angry King Xerxes. And then early in the story, modest Queen Vashti. Okay, that's Xerxes' wife, and she's fantastically beautiful, and he's excited about her. So he says, come to this party. I want everybody to see how beautiful you are. But she's more of a modest gal. So sometimes modest, you know, put me in the background. That's a good quality. She says, I'm not going to do that. He gets furious. She tells him, you know, hit the road, Jack. And he tells her, no, you hit the road, Vashti. So she's out of the picture. She did her work because she had to be moved over as Esther was going to come to the forefront. So thank the Lord for Queen Vashti, her modesty. And then new Queen Esther, she comes in. She is a Jewish girl in Iran, a Jewish queen in Iran. Good heavens. How in the world did that happen? You could see what happened today. It would be the same impact on our souls as it was probably back then. You mean the leader of Iran has a Jewish wife? This is crazy, you know. It must be God going to do something really big here, and he does. And then there's Haman. Haman was the first Hitler, you might say. He said, let's get rid of all the Jewish people. Just kill them all. That's what we want. And he's the villain. And then Mordecai. He's the hero dad for Esther. But God uses Esther really in the most dramatic way. He's the loyal dad and advisor to Esther. So behind the placement of all these people is the Lord, God of heaven and earth. And we want to keep the Lord as the main one in the story, of course. The story of Esther is written and directed by God. And so is the story of your life. Written and directed by God. Whether you have a role of Queen Vashti, quiet, time to not do so much, or be very outspoken, Mordecai, be reluctantly outspoken, Esther. Okay, whatever God's doing in your soul, he's going to use you to honor himself. God is not mentioned in the book of Esther, the only book in the Bible. His name isn't mentioned. You don't see God. You don't hear from God. Doesn't have anything that says, thus says the Lord. You know, you could read that story if it was out in the, you know, at Barnes and Noble. You say, oh, a fantastic story. Glad it had nothing to do with God because I'm not interested in God. But God is, you know, he's working to do something great. God plans and engineers the whole book. And two real good messages from this part of the Bible is this. God is always working behind the scenes, and you cannot stop the Messiah. Because the Messiah would come through the Jewish people. Okay? So that's something. God overrules the evil Xerxes. It's something for us to consider when we see, you know, evil leaders today, or even in our own soul, you know, we become a little tyrant of our own soul. God's going to overrule that for his own purposes. And God overrules the cold-blooded killer Haman and gets things going to help the Jewish people. So the purpose of God, one thing we could take from the book of Esther, the purpose of God is often fulfilled even when people are seeking to fulfill their own purposes. You might be surrounded by selfish people. You say, this is terrible. How's anything going to get done with the selfishness that what I see around me, or maybe your own selfishness? God often fulfills his purpose by even the bad behavior of our own selves and the people around us. I find this in my own life to be true, to make it personal. Sometimes at my worst apathy, worst sins, big lack of love, then my soul feels the pain of that. And God, obviously, you know, his Holy Spirit grieves. And so I get sad about how I am because of my own sin. And often that is the beginning, when I admit that, or a catalyst to go back to the Lord. So God can use you at your worst to get you to follow Jesus. And remember that for the dear people around you. Okay. It's not bad to be totally at the bottom of the barrel and to say, I'm too sinful for God to use me. God can say, hey, I died for sinners. But sin is still evil, and pain is still brought to our soul in the Holy Spirit. But one common example from the book of Esther, God can grow an oak tree out of a manure pile. Okay, you say, whoa, that's might be your life. My life, you say, has been a manure pile. Well, God can bring an oak tree out of that. And the Jewish people, out of great threat, became strong. Esther said, I'll follow God even if I die. She wasn't ready to say that at the beginning of what Bill read. So God uses bad to get good done. Sinful Rome, sinful Pharisees killed Jesus, pays for the debt of our sins. We don't know why it had to be that way. God did it that way. And so God's kingdom moves forward. So when you meet God in your most rebellious time, remember he's at work. Jesus saves the chief of sinners. Put your name in there because you are the worst sinner you know. Always remember that. Have that mentality that you and I can have. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But we're a child of his through the grace of God. And we are at our lowest. Sin abounds all the more. Okay. You might say, I'm not at my lowest. I'm kind of in my medium. I'm coasting on medium. God's grace can get you out of medium and more toward love and zeal. And so the Lord does it that way. Remember what happened to King Xerxes. He got real zealous for God and his ways. This rascal king, who was a wino, okay, and he was just, you know, he was into bad things. Sure, I'll kill the Jews. Why not? It goes to show the fickleness of human leadership. First, he says, all the Jews must die. This was a edict of the Medes and the Persians, you might say. The thing in history was, if the Persians said this is a law, it had to be a law, it could never be changed. Some of us are stubborn like that in our souls, you know. This is the way it's going to be, and I tell you it's not going to change. A couple chapters later, he says, I make a new law. Let's save all the Jewish people, and this won't be changed. So Xerxes, he's ready to commit genocide, but God instead uses him to bless the Jewish people to the max. Isn't that something? And in our soul, who knows what major change God can bring about? I wanted to kill my enemies and get rid of them, but I ended up trying to bless them. I don't even know why. It must have been the Lord got a hold of me. Okay, that can happen to your soul and my soul. So God uses his enemies to fulfill his purposes. Remember that when you watch the news, ISIS, Iran, corruption, apathy, persecution of Christians. God uses bad to fulfill his purposes. Church historian said this, history is not the story of God trying to do something good and failing and having to come up with plan B. Okay, to apply it to our own selves, you might say, well, I always wanted to be a teacher. Tried to be a teacher. I thought, God wants me to be a teacher. Went to be a teacher, failed miserably. Instead, I went to be a nurse. I like being a nurse. I mean, from our perspective, a nurse was plan B. I failed God as a teacher, so he'll use me as a nurse. No, nurse was plan A all the while, wasn't it? Nurse was plan A for you. See, Jesus is always plan A. He's never plan B. So to follow him, to know him, is the point of Xerxes' life, Esther's life, Mordecai, the hero's life, and the enemies, they were going to have to be wiped out, Haman and company. And one Bible teacher said, to look at history like that is pretty important. Our days, our Monday mornings, our Friday nights, our Saturday nights, our Sunday mornings, this is for the purpose of God. I want in on that. And one man said, God's ultimate plan, even in Genesis, was not just, you know, Adam and Eve in paradise. That wasn't his ultimate plan. His ultimate plan was Jesus saving humanity. Because in a real sense, paradise regained is a lot better than paradise, period. Because when you regain, then you know what you had, you know, how special it was and how God helped you. So God invites us as a response to, just like Esther, trust him. Trust in him to his times of delay, death, loss, or painful heartache. I think in my own life, when you go to the doctor for a regular checkup, don't you just want to get out of there? Yeah, get it done, you know. Blood pressure, pretty good. Heart, pretty good. See you in 6 months. Thank you. Hey, you're kind of yawning, reading a magazine while they're doing their thing. But if you're in pain, or if you're in trouble, I don't know about you, I'm hanging on every word that doctor says. Yes, I'm listening. I'll do whatever you tell me, doc. I don't want to have to face what could be, you know, with the Lord too. When we are not at our best, we draw close and we listen and we follow. And this happened to the whole Jewish people, Mordecai, Esther. Esther was a really great queen. She loved the Lord. But when Mordecai said, go and get, you know, save the people, go talk to the king, she said, wait a minute. If I go to the king, he could kill me. So I don't know if I'm going to go to the king. For all the heroics of Esther, she had to be talked into it by Mordecai. Mordecai said, well, you know, if you don't go, you're going to get killed. And besides that, God will use somebody else. So maybe you're there to really serve the Lord, or maybe not. And Esther said, okay, I get it. I'm going. And if I die, I die. So she was heroic when she had to be. And we could trust God when it takes us a while to see his hand. And in our times of loss, and you might say, well, my whole life is going to get wiped out, or however it's coming upon us, to remember, okay, God is behind the scenes. God has a purpose. He is going to honor himself in this thing, and he's going to save as many people as possible. So in threat and in death, and Mordecai himself, he was kind of on death row when all this is going on, because gallows were being built for him to be hanged. End up hanging Haman on them. But remember in Romans, from God and to God and through God are all things. I want these things to be times that honor God. And I promise you as a fellow Christian, God will be 100% faithful to you. He really will. There's a song that says, to guide the future as he has the past, your hope, your confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious and painful will be bright at last. It will. It will be bright at last. And when the Jewish people celebrated what happened, it was called the Feast of Purim, still celebrated today. It's a very joyful time. They give gifts to one another. They give gifts to the poor. Isn't that interesting? They don't just say, we're the Jews. Let's just celebrate for us. They say, no, we're gonna give gifts to the poor because that's like a missionary minded child of God. Because remember, all this victory God does is not just for you. It's to bless other people, which God did even in that little feast of Purim. And Queen Esther, you know, fantastic follower of the Lord. And we're glad to walk in her ways and know the goodness of God behind the scenes. Well, let's pray together. We'll pray for some people, too, who are in the hospital and children going to school in, certain districts. They start off today or Monday. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your love for Esther, Mordecai, Xerxes, each one of us. And we know there's evil, real bad evil, in both in our own souls and around us. That's why Haman tried to do what he tried to do. But you defeated evil soundly, as you always do. So we ask for trust in you. We ask in our own soul that each of us would say very sincerely and 100% from you, Jesus is my Lord. And if we've never said that to you, Lord, we say it to you today. Jesus is my Lord. We want to say it by the way we live to people around us. We pray for people who need your care physically, people in and out of the hospital. Carolyn Azevedo, Lord, please save her and help her facing 6 weeks of radiation for lung cancer. Healing for Gwen Lawhorn out of surgery. Carol Schaefer, Ken Kunkel to feel better, Joe Fusco to feel better. And thank you for our soldiers who serve overseas, Ellen Gross, Nick Perger returning to the States. And Father, give us a trust in you as we follow you in these days. They're pretty much as evil as the days of Esther and Nehemiah and Ezra, but we can follow you no matter how bad things get. This is part of your good news to us. Your plan is going well, and it's moving forward. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We're going to close our